for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Wednesday morning service of July the 2nd, 1997, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker for the morning.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Hallelujah. And when we understand the riches of His great kingdom, we will have come a long ways, won't we? Now, how do you get in this? Well, first of all, you've got to have the right birth. How do you grow up into the full stature? But you have to begin with the right birth. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 2, and I'll give you something here to chew on. Hallelujah. While we're waiting for dessert. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank the Lord. Oh, chapter 2 in Exodus, begin with verse 1, and I read. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. You know that story. All the little children know that one, don't they? I remember when I was just a little tot and going to Sunday school, the Assemblies of God printed a little card about so big, 5 by 8 maybe, or maybe it was 3 by 5, and it always had a picture of something, and one of them had a picture of baby Moses in the bulrushes. Hallelujah. All right, the point I want to make here is that when God gets ready to raise up a deliverer, how does he go about it? Well, he makes sure he has the right birth.
Yes.
Now, you see, this is about 100 years before Egypt's going to come out of their bondage, because Miriam was like 10 years older than Moses, and Aaron was between them, and Moses was 80 years old when he went over there to get them and brought them out. So about 90-something years or near 100 years before the actual mechanics are thrown in gear and the cogs start rolling to bring them out, God begins to set the stage for it. He put in this Levi gentleman the desire to go over and visit with one of his kindred Levi's and had a pretty daughter over there. And he went over and he went to get her, didn't he? There went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife to daughter of Levi. He's going for a thoroughbred here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going for a thoroughbred. Now, I realize that genealogy, as far as the natural is concerned, don't count much now, but it did then. Hallelujah. And God's going for a thoroughbred, because what he wants to do is he has tested these people. He has known them very well, and he's found some strains of character in them that he likes. Hey, I had a guy that worked for me one time. It was a rooster fighter. He raised fighting roosters. And, you wouldn't believe how much they sell some of them roosters for. And he kept a log on all of his roosters, you know, when they had their last shots and how courageous they are and all of this. And they fight them roosters in the ring, two roosters, you know. And this guy worked for me, if one of his roosters quit in the ring without having a mortal wound, you know, if he just quit through cowardice, he went home and pulled out the ledger. This one's got a strain he don't like. He'll break down under pressure. Hallelujah. And so he kills this rooster, But that ain't the worst part. He kills everything that's kin to that rooster.
Right, come on, you gotta get rid of it.
He's gonna get rid of that whole cowardly strain.
Come on.
Yeah. Now, so that's what God's looking for in Moses. He sends a Levi to get a Levi, and he's going to raise up a deliverer, raise him up to the full stature. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and see if God did that. Hallelujah. Amen. Even with the right birth, you can... Hallelujah. Well, I'll get to that later. Hallelujah. I don't know. Listen to this in the 11th chapter here of the... This is that famous chapter of Hebrews of faith. Verse 23. Now, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And here's that strain that God's after. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They weren't afraid of a heathen king's commandment. Now, that's an admirable strain that the Lord... He wants somebody that's not afraid, can't be intimidated by the heathen out there, can't be intimidated by government factions and things and places. Well, let's see what happened. Come on down to verse 27. It's talking about Moses now. He chose in the 25th verse to suffer afflictions with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Brings us to the 27th verse. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All right? God brought forth that strain that wouldn't break down under pressure. Moses' mother and daddy was not afraid to hide Moses out. They wanted to preserve him. They knew that they were risking their lives, but they were not afraid of the king. There was something within them that made it a greater urgency to spare this child than to obey this heathen king. And Moses grows up. He has that strain in him. My granddaddy was a breeder of cattle and horses, and he told me a lot about that. He did it from way back. His daddy did it before him. And they could breed a certain strain into a certain herd, separate them, you know, and keep them separate. And if you wanted a longhorn steer, he could give you a longhorn out of a muley. Hallelujah. All you do to get a longhorn out of a muley is just stick around. That muley will produce a longhorn after all, just accidentally. I mean, the genes... 1 in 1,000, take that one out of the herd of him and put it over in a special herd, and the next time another one's produced, get that one. And pretty soon you've got a start of longhorns here, inbreeding, crossbreeding. And a horse, you do the same way. I bred quarter horses and broke all kinds of horses. And a quarter horse is a beautiful horse. He's a beauty. And he got quick start, and he's strong. But when God said he wanted to make us something real special, he didn't say, I'll make your feet like quarter horses. Hallelujah. He said, I'll make your feet like hinds feet. Hinds is a little bitty deer. And he's sure-footed. You ever watch an old quarter horse when he's 3 years old and just... race him out there, just make him start out there and make him stop and then watch his tracks in the sand. When he's just walking normally, his hind foot oversteps his front foot. Or when he's young, it'll overstep at 16, 18 inches. But the older he gets, the closer he comes back to tracking. But he'll never track, but he'll get pretty close to it. Hallelujah. You see? Now because his hind foot oversteps his front foot 16 inches, makes him clumsy. But a hind's foot, he steps with his hind foot right in his front, right in the track his front foot made. So he can watch and see, especially when he's ascending the high places, he can watch and see when there's rolling pebbles, and he puts his foot down between them. Now, he don't have to worry about his hind foot when it gets here. It's going to set right down in there. So God said, I'll make your feet like hind's feet. I'll make you track. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll give you some leadership. You'll walk into it, and I'll make you track. You'll be on safe ground. Hallelujah. You won't be clumsy. Hallelujah. Wandering. But you, yes. Lord, give us feet like hinds feet. Hallelujah. Amen. If I just want to ride, I used to ride town when I was a boy a lot on horseback. I had a lot of horses that would show out, but I had two or three. It was real special show outs. And when I get coming into town there, there was a curve. And when you come around that curve, you was in town on Washington Street all the way through. When I'd come around that curve, I'd spur this horse a little bit and rein him in close, and I'd make him throw a bow in his neck, you know, and he'd prance through town. Oh, he was a pictorial thing, but he wasn't sure-footed. He'd stumble and fall, and he had glass eyes. He'd, you know what glass eyes, not actually. he was a bald-faced, white-faced horse, black, and had four white stocking feet up to his knees. And he had what we call glass eyes, blue, real, real blue, bluer than mine. They're blue. You can see through them almost. And he can't see good in daytime, but at night he can see good. I used to ride him a lot at night. When I started courting, that's how I transported myself. And I'd ride cross country to go cut across. I'd court a girl over in the next little town, Tatum. And I'd cut across country, and it was rugged terrain. Coming back, I'd stay as long as, about the third time her mother told her it's bedtime, well, I'd leave. And I'd get out there on my horse, and I'd be sleepy, you know, by the time I got out. That was about 6-7 miles across there. And when I got sleepy, all I'd do is just tie my reins together and throw them over the horn and saddle and just sit there and go to sleep. First thing I know, the old buck, I'd feel something. He stopped. I look, and there's my lot gate in front of him. He brought me home. Run it a lot of times. He could see in the dark. And this ground wasn't rough enough that you had to get. The older they get, hey, this just preach to you, the older that horse gets, the nearer he comes to tracking. The more experience you have walking with God, the nearer you will come to put your back foot where the front one led off to go. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. Moses. And Moses won't break down under pressure now. We've got the right blood in him. Hallelujah. Levites were Levites. No, Levites were priests. Hallelujah, unto God, special. And he won't break down under pressure. Hallelujah. I've seen a lot of brave soldiers in training that it didn't pan out that way for them. If a guy was too, some of the bravest ones I thought was, they folded quicker. Some of the meeker ones, they hang in there. And the Bible said Moses was the meekest man on earth. We kind of associate meekness with cowardice and things, but it wasn't so then. He was a meek man, but he was a powerful man, wasn't he? He walked with God. He made a few errors, but God penalized him, didn't he? He wouldn't allow him to go into the promised land, but not at that time. Somebody said, well, poor Moses, he never got to the promised land. I said, yeah, he did, too. Oh, in the 17th chapter of St. Matthew, when Jesus was being transfigured, he appeared right in the middle of it, didn't he? And if you wanted to turn over and read it, I can tell the story as good as you can read it. In the 17th chapter of St. John, Jesus is being transfigured. Peter, James, and John is witnessing the transaction. And here comes Moses. And here comes Elijah. And the disciples recognize him. The apostles recognize him. The point that I want to make is, now here they both are right in the middle of Canaan, right in the middle of the promised land. And one of them never died yet, Elijah. But the other one died. Now, Moses died and was buried. All right? Now, the thing, the principle here is in the order that they come. You get me? You turn over and read it and see who got there first. Did Elijah come first or Moses? Moses came first. Paul said, I wouldn't have you ignorant on this principle. We that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with the shout and the voice of the archangel and trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It was fitting that Moses come first to represent those that died in Christ. Hallelujah. Being resurrected at the crucial hour to meet God in his glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about growing into full stature now. I'm just now getting kind of warmed up here where I could preach a little if the clock would leave me alone. Yeah. The clock stopped. All right. Then comes, if you're reading over there, then comes Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah represents those that were alive and remained until he come. We had to wait just a few seconds for that bunch to get out of the graves and get their new bodies. And hallelujah. Amen. And be transfigured in, given a body like unto his glorious one. Hallelujah. Hey, you know what he give them? He give them a body of immunity. We're fixing getting war here. At this conjunction, the war starts. I mean, the enemy comes down on us. He sees now, at that point, that he has but a short time to do it. Hallelujah. And he sees the translation of the sons of God. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves. Hey, the whole creation's groaning, but they don't know what they're groaning about or who they're groaning to. But we do. We groan within ourselves. Hallelujah. We know what we're groaning about, and we know who we're groaning to. Hallelujah. Yeah. They groan, not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves, awaiting the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what man yet hopeth for that which he has? But if you hope for that which you have not, then do you with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searcheth my heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then do about these things? Or say about them? Well, say, if God be for us, who can be against us? For if he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody asked me, you believe in eternal security? I sure do. I'd hate to get out there about 10 million years and it play out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't believe in eternal security per se, as you know it, you know the old teaching, but I don't believe in that. But I believe that mine's eternal. Hallelujah. And I'm counting on it. Believe me, I'm counting on it. Hallelujah. All right, now, where are we now? Moses endured his seeing the invisible. You have to have two sights. You have to be able to see the visible and the invisible. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Hallelujah. This is the sons of God. This is a message of the kingdom. Of course, we're just barely scratching it, but it is the message of the kingdom. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, begin with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, listen to this one. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here comes the test. They that are after the flesh do mind the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the Spirit. To be carnally minded is dangerous, isn't it? For the carnal mind is enmity against God. I mean, it's God's enemy. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, from the grave, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I have been led captive, led from captivity to one law, led into captivity to the other. The law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. I was once bound to the law of sin and death, but Jesus visited me and led me out of captivity and captivated me by the law of the life of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And now I'm alive in Him. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Yes. You may not realize the impact of that statement. I'm living this life in the flesh that I now live by the faith of the Son of God. Hey, you know what he said? He said, I believe He's going to make it. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's His faith. He's looking down. Hey, I believe they're going to make it. So we live this life in the flesh by the faith of Him that believes we're going to do it. Hallelujah. He has faith that we'll do it. Hallelujah. And if we'll just add one spidget little bit of human initiative to that, my Lord, gravity is liable to lose its hold on us. Sometimes I almost feel my change coming. I do. I wouldn't be too surprised if sometime when I'm engulfed in the depth of this great message, they'll just be translated. Hallelujah. Given my immunity. Hallelujah. And ready to put the devil underfoot. Hallelujah. Well, let me show us another thing or two here before I unplug. Hallelujah. Amen. I should have never started this one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll show us a principle or two here, and I'm going to close for soon. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, my God. My mind and spirit so full of things, I don't know what to share next. You know? Hallelujah. All right, in the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. All right, how about that then? All right, the old man and the first man. The old man's the first man, and the last man, of course, is Christ Jesus. The first man is Adam. And God doesn't move in with the last man until the first man has been, when the first man has been discredited, he's been tested, discredited, rejected, and through trials, then God, that was Adam, then comes the last Adam. Say, did you know, we say, I wish Adam hadn't a veil. Well, I don't know if I feel for Adam all right, but I'm kind of glad he did when I consider that the last Adam, hey, the trespass offering came. Jesus is a trespass offering. He's the last Adam. And we're far wealthier now than we were before the fall. We're far wealthier than we were before Adam fell. And we don't want to be restored back to where Adam was. We want to be restored to where Adam was plus where the last Adam is. Hallelujah. We leave this old Adam in the grave. Hallelujah. And come alive in the last Adam. Did you know? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I guess you probably know most of these things. Hallelujah. Did you know that in the first book of Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul makes 14 references to the wanderings of the church in the wilderness of Israel. He makes 14 references in one chapter. He tells us to let them be an ensample to us. Watch their example. Don't make the same mistakes they did. When they did something profitable, you do it twice. When they make mistakes, you omit that one. Just do another proper one. All right? So he likens the church then of now to the church that was in the wilderness. And it shows us where we were and where we are now, positionally and spiritually. Did you know that if you follow the principles of the church in the wilderness, you can abort, listen to me now, you can abort your experience anytime between the conception and the completing of it. You can abort anytime, anywhere in the wilderness, and you will never grow into the fullness of what I'm talking about this morning. The Israelites, they had the great lofty plan. God had a lofty plan for them, but they aborted. They couldn't carry it to the full birth. They couldn't carry and bring forth a full-grown son. Hallelujah. And Paul is telling us, don't do that. Hallelujah. Do not abort in the wilderness, but continue your progress and proceed on your way. You're coming to the fullness of sonship. Hallelujah. And God will return. Hey, you know what God's going to bring it to? Let me come tie it together now. God's going to bring it to this point. He told Adam to be fruitful and multiply. He said, I give you dominion over everything I've created. All right, what did God have when he done that? He had a man in his own image, in his own likeness. And he had authority over everything that God had. And I'm telling you that God is raising up a man today that is in his image, hallelujah, in his likeness. And he's giving him full authority over everything that he has created. Hallelujah. And nothing shall by any means hurt him. Hallelujah. 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 And everything in me cries out, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come. Ah, oh, blessed be God. God's so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. He's so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. All right, let me do this one other thing here and I'll close. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, the apostle Saul of Tarsus meets the Lord Jesus. And Paul meets the Lord Jesus, and he says in 1 Corinthians 9:1, I'm not going to turn over, have I not seen Jesus our Lord? I've seen his resurrection works, and he calls him Jesus our Lord. On the road to Damascus in verse 9, Paul, after having been stricken down and losing his sight, he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, in verse 5, said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, told him what to do, didn't he? Hey, this sounds like too quick a surrender to me for a man like the Apostle Paul. But, hey, he was very determined after he found the Lord, wasn't he? In the new life that he had created in him now, he was very determined. But, hey, he had been a zealous Pharisee, the top of the line. Hallelujah. Amen. And he would give his life. He would die for his belief in the Pharisees. And he would kill for his belief in the Pharisees. He went in, persecuted the churches, and but just in a moment of time, he makes a complete surrender. In just one moment of time, he realizes that his earnestness was treason. What he thought was earnestness turns out to be treason. What he thought was truth turns out to be error. What he thought was zeal turns out to be rebellion. Hallelujah. And his liberty that he thought he had has now turned into bondage. Hallelujah. How could a man be so wrong and be so adamant with that wrong concepts and then surrender it in just a moment? How could he do that? All right, I told you I might come back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And the earth that was withering in darkness, tradition and darkness of the earth, no order, no void, without any form, all at once when God said, let there be light, it lit up. Now God does it again in Saul of Tarsus. Saul riding along there, and all at once, God said, I'm going to release light in this old boy. And he fell off his donkey or whatever he's riding, camel. And he groveled on the ground a little while, realized he was blind, he couldn't see. And he cried out, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. See, as surely as he called light upon the disorder of the darkness and that void in the natural, he called for the light to shine in Saul of Tarsus. Hallelujah. And Paul would put it this way, Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul the Apostle. And he said, when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me. Hallelujah. It has pleased God to reveal Christ in me. That's why that I can reveal Christ to you. First of all, he has to be revealed in you. And when God said, let the light of God come into Saul of Tarsus, he realized all the truth that he had fought for was error. All the zeal that he had mustered now turned in would be rebellion. Hallelujah. His world, hallelujah. You know, the Bible said they turned the world upside down. God turned Saul's upside down here. Hallelujah. Oh, God moved in him. When it pleased God to let the light of God shine in me. When it pleased God from my mother's womb, who called me from my mother's womb, to let the light of God shine into me, it did. And it's been shining forth out of him ever since. Through the written letter now, but as long as he was alive and going, he helped a lot of people, didn't he? And then he left a legacy behind. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the legacy says to us, hey, don't abort in the wilderness. You have been impregnated. Bring forth a full, mature birth. Hallelujah. You have had the bad characteristical strains sifted out. Bring forth the good. Stand in the fullness of the stature of Him who gave His life for us. Well, that's not all of it, but that's part of it. God bless you real good. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God be gracious to us. My Lord and our God. What a marvelous, wonderful Savior we have. Oh, thank God forever. Thank God forever. Know, my people, saith the Lord, that deep has called unto deep this day. Yea, I took the depth of my spirit, yea, and I have put it in vocal, and I call to the depth of your spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, and I tell you now, if you will nurture the things that you have felt and the things that you know to be true, you shall never abort. You shall never fail, saith the Lord thou God. You shall grow up as fatted calves in a stall. Yea, you shall come to the fullness of the stature that was planned by God from the foundation of the world. Ye shall grow up, yea, and not go under, yea, but you shall go over. I shall make you overcomers. That you will overcome those things that used to overcome you, you will now overcome them. Rise up in the fullness of life and live. Yea, I speak to the enemy and make him get behind you. Yea, and confront you no more. For the Lord of glory has anointed you with a special anointing of understanding this day, saith the Lord. God bless you real good. God bless you real good. I guess I'll ask the blessing over the food and we'll be dismissed. Father, we pray that you'd bless the food as you, natural food as you've blessed us with spiritual food this morning, O Lord. You've blessed us with the joy of the song. And oh God, just now, make this food nourishment to our physical bodies. And Father, we will be most careful to praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.